The maimer we're going to learn today was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Truma, much like this one. The date was the 6th of Adar. The year was Tavshin Mem Gimel, which would correspond to 1983. And the maimer opens with the opening words of Parshas Truma, where God says to the Jewish people, "Va'asu li migdash, v'shachanti b'seichem." You'll make for me a dwelling, and I will dwell amongst them. So you'll make for me a sanctuary, I dwell amongst them. As I said, God says, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I didn't have an address. Now, I'd like you to make me an address. They said, people said, great, where? I said, well, we're not going to have exactly an address yet. It's going to be a mobile home. And then after living in a mobile home for a while, then we're going to have a permanent address. And the interesting thing is that God didn't say va'asu migdash. He said va'asu li migdash. This is my home, my address. Va'amru razal, our rabbis tell us, and this is found in a variety of different places. The Medrash Shmuel actually elaborates on this, but it's found in Medrash Sheikhatov and Vayikra Rabbah. And it says it in other psukim, not just on this pasuk. But our rabbis in general taught us, kol makam shenemar li, wherever the Torah uses the word li, lamed yud, eini zaz la'olam, then you bet your bottom dollar this is immutable. If it says li, then it's for posterity. That's the nature of li. Okay, it's like a matrix. When you have like next to a map, you have a legend. Here's your biblical legend. If it says li, that's it. It's forever. Li is forever. Not diamond is forever. Li is forever. Ein izaz la'ilam. It's never going to change. It's never going to move. Loi be'ilam hazeh, v'loi be'ilam haba. Not in this world, not in the world to come. Chulu. Ve'beis ha'migdash ma'ho eimer. With regard to the beis ha'migdash, what does it say? Ve'asu li migdash. Now, this has got to be one of the most shocking statements anywhere in rabbinic literature. Because an enormous amount of Judaism, as we observe it today, is based on the Beis HaMikdash and the lack of the Beis HaMikdash. Our davening is full of requests for Mashiach and Sheyibane Beis HaMikdash. We start our davening with that. We finish our davening with that. And there are so many things we do, Zecher LeMikdash, in the memory of the Mikdash, in the image of the Mikdash, in the spirit of the Mikdash. Nothing has changed. Loi Be'ilam Hazeh, the Medrash is very clear. Not in this world, not in the other world. In no worlds, on no realm, in no reality, on all dimensions of reality. So the Rebbe says, obviously, v'tzarach lohavin. This has to be understood. Now, this is asked in many, many memoirs, this question. And there's a maimer from the Friedrich Rebbe from 1948 where he elaborates this question in even stronger terms. Harei ha-migdash. I mean, after all, everybody knows, even a small child knows, that the Migdash, which Hainu HaMishkan, that is the Mishkan, maybe every child doesn't know that, but everybody knows the Migdash, and the Mishkan is Ikri Migdash, the Mishkan is called Migdash, as the Gemara says, in Maseches Erev, right in the beginning. Hayu Beishinuyim. Forget destruction. We know that there were many differences. There were iterations of the Beis HaMigdash. There was a Migdash, it was a temporary dwelling. And then it evolved into a more permanent dwelling, but not really an address. And then we had kind of an address for a while, but that ultimately was temporary too. And then there was some almost mobile dwellings in between, makeshift. And then finally we came to the lasting address, the permanent address, ground zero of holiness, Temple Mount Jerusalem. So you can't say there was no differences. Any zuz? I mean, the pasuk was said to Moshe Rabbeinu, said to the Jewish people in the desert, "Eini zaz," it didn't move. That's literally the words "Eini zaz" mean. It doesn't move. This won't move. What do you mean? This has not stopped moving. How could you say such a thing? V'chein hamigdash she'asa shleimai, and even when he finally did get a permanent address, so if you're to say v'asuli migdash, it doesn't say v'asuli mishkan, it says v'asuli migdash. So really, this pasuk is referring to when God finally does get permanent digs, when he finally gets an address, a real address. So even when he got to that address, the Migdash that Shlomo HaMelech made, and Habayis HaSheni, the second Beis HaMigdash, Shneim Nechrevu. No change? Big change. They were destroyed. The first Beis HaMikdash, a permanent address, they got destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash, not only it got destroyed, we don't even know where the address is anymore. We know the neighborhood, they don't know the address. We don't know exactly where. The first Beis HaMikdash, they knew where the foundations had remained. Second Beis HaMikdash, nothing was left. It says nothing left. I could just say that it didn't move. Not only were there some changes, not only has this been in a state of flux, the Migdash is no longer, it would seem, entirely. How in heaven could you say, I mean, talk about hyperbole. It doesn't move? It's here forever? So the Tzemach Tzedek explains this in a Maimer in Eretz Yisrael, and he says, "Shem Migdash Ha'Elyon Mechubar Mamash LeMigdash HaTachton." There's a heavenly Beis HaMikdash, and there's an earthly Beis HaMikdash, and the heavenly Beis HaMikdash is rooted in perfect corollary with the earthly Beis HaMikdash, with the terrestrial Beis HaMikdash. Okeinyan, and this is along the lines of the verse that's found in the 122nd Psalm of the book of Tehillim, which is elaborated in a number of places, that Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra lo yachdav, that the rebuilt city of Yerushalayim is a city of unity, a city of oneness. And the explanation of city of oneness, chubra lo yachdav, that's been united as one, is not that they didn't make a green line and divide Jerusalem. That's not what it's talking about. I mean, that just adds the irony of it all. The irony of wanting to divide the city, which the Torah calls one. And then the world celebrates the wall coming down in Berlin as they advance the cause for peace by asking for a wall to be built in another city. Sugar, it doesn't make any sense. So besides the fact that it's the irony of ironies, but the deeper meaning is not talking about a nefarious challenge that's placed by anti-Semites, but that means Yerushalayim shel Maila is mechubar im Yerushalayim shel Mata, that the heavenly Jerusalem and the earthly Jerusalem are united. They're one and the same. V'zehu, and that says the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, einei zaz la'ilam, that doesn't change, that doesn't move. The heavenly Jerusalem linked to the earthly Jerusalem, that doesn't change. That's going to be forever. That was, that is, will forever be. Shemeir gam achshav beruchni, is that there resonates and illuminates on a spiritual level the Migdash HaElyon. So there's a heavenly Beis HaMikdash. It was never destroyed. Titus couldn't get to heaven. That I can guarantee you. Even after he died, he didn't get to heaven. So he destroyed an earthly Beis HaMikdash because God allowed him to. A heavenly Beis HaMikdash, he couldn't get close. That's it. And the heavenly Beis HaMikdash is rooted to exactly this spot in Ilum Haza Agashmi, in the physical material world. And so whatever's in the heavenly Beis HaMikdash is resonating and illuminating in the earthly Beis HaMikdash. And that's the meaning of any Zazlelo. So that's the answer. It's not a very satisfying answer. So that's what it was about. This is all in the realm of the spiritual. It says, Eini zoz lebelum haza, velebelum haba, not in this world, not in the other world. And it's just a spiritual answer. So the Rebbe himself notes, Amnum l'cheda, inyan zeh, shayach l'migdash al yin beruchnis. This works very nicely for the spiritual reality. And if you're living in the clouds, great, go visit the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're living here on earth, that doesn't really answer our question. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash isn't here. Maza shayach l'migdash agashmi. How does this address the issue of the material Beis HaMikdash, or the lack of material Beis HaMikdash, about which the commandment, v'asul migdash, was actually given? God didn't say, make me a heavenly Beis HaMikdash, because we wouldn't know what to do. He didn't say, build me a Migdash in heaven. That was his problem. That's his job. What was our job? What's v'atzuli Migdash? When God made the commandment, v'atzuli, make for me. Which Beis HaMikdash, which Mishkan was he talking about? The heavenly Mishkan or the earthly Mishkan? The earthly, obviously. Oh, they brought gold and silver. Did they send it to heaven? You can't bring that to heaven. And the gold was literal, the silver was literal, and the copper was literal, and the skins were literal, the cloth was literal. So all of that's the commandment is about a Migdash in this world. And what's your answer? Ah, it's out of this world. Yeah, it's great, but that's not how it's in this world. And the Eini Zaz La'ilam, the Vasuli, speaking out of the commandment to build a Migdash here. So what the Rebbe is going to say now is not said in any maimer. It's not said in any maimer. This is discussed in many, many maimerim. And usually they go along the lines of the spiritual concept, b'serchal echad v'echad, that there's a migdash at a spiritual level, and it's alive and it's real, even though we can't see it. The Rebbe says, yesh leimer, because of precisely the incongruity of this answer, the challenge of swallowing this answer that just doesn't seem to go down your throat. Like, it doesn't work in this world. So therefore, lachein mevi kveit kedushas hadmor tzemach tzedek oid bir. The Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek in the Maimon Eretz Torah actually brings a second explanation. Now in the Gemara, it's very common to have multiple explanations. The Gemara will give an answer. The Gemara will say, v'iba yaseima, and if you want, you can answer like this. And sometimes the Gemara can come with a 30 by yaseima, even a 40 by yaseima. But in a Maimon of Chassidus, it's not typical to have multiple answers. Usually the question is asked. The question is asked specifically because we want to introduce, the Rabbein wanted to introduce a biur, an explanation, a clarification of a detail in Torah. And it wasn't to get the answer to the question. It's like, if you get a different answer to the question, did you not learn the Maimer? One Misnagid was learning Chassidus, he had a question by him, so I have an answer to this question. Okay, forget it, I don't need to learn the Maimer. That's not the point. The question of the Maimer is not to answer the question per se. The question is the vehicle to deliver the payload of teaching in order for you to show you how this is real and how this is true and how it's embedded in the subject itself. So, hey, the way you understand this now does not kind of work. There's a challenge here. So Maimer introduces a new explanation. It rarefies your perspective. You say from a new perspective, the question isn't a question to begin with. Here, the Tzemach Tzedek offers a second explanation. The question is huge. It's a colossal question. And he says, another possibility is, based on the words that's found in Maseches Megillah on page 29, Ve'elohem le'migdash ma'at, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says through his Navi Yechezkel in the 11th chapter of his prophecies, I will be for them as a minor sanctuary. Ve'am razal, and the sages tell us, Elo batiknesies u'bati medrashas. When God said, I will be for the people of Israel in a minor sanctuary. Which minor sanctuary is that? We don't know of a sanctuary outside Jerusalem, not even a minor one. And the answer says the Gemara, this is the houses of worship, this is the houses of Torah study, the Bati Knesias and Bati Midrashas. Hainu, in other words, Shebechol Mokim, in every place. Gam Bizman HaGolos, even during the time of exilic displacement. Hine, Habati Knesias, Ubati Midrashas, the shuls and the yeshivas, the places of prayer and Torah study, hey, migdash meat, they serve as God's minor sanctuary. And that is Ein Nizaz Lo'ilu. That never changes. So this is another explanation. The question is, God said, make me a migdash, and it will never change. And we say, it hasn't stopped changing. And the answer is, no. Make me a migdash does not only include the major base of migdash, the chosen home, it includes a shul and a yeshiva. God said, make me a migdash. We did. We're sitting in it. Hashem said, I am too. That doesn't change. Anywhere we go, we build a shul, we build a yeshiva, we put a place which is designated for the sacred pursuit of prayer or study, and God says, I'm dwelling there. That's my address. So you want to know what God's address is? Here in this neighborhood, 8001 Bathurst. That's God's address. That's where God is. Now the Rebbe adds, V'yesh lahesef bazeh. The Rebbe wants to add another nuance of understanding. Dezeu gam teichen ha'inyin de'ein izaz mirushalayim shal maila. Up until this point, there are two different explanations. Two different explanations. One explanation is understanding this on a spiritual level. There's the Shalayim Shalmaila and Yerushalayim Shalmata. There's the heavenly city of Jerusalem. There's the earthly city of Jerusalem. And it's not just a heavenly thing. It would be just heavenly, it wouldn't be an answer altogether. The point is that the heavenly reality is linked or tethered to the earthly reality. That the earthly reality reflects a heavenly reality. It's connected to geography. It is connected to this world. Because Yerushalayim Shalmaila, the heavenly Jerusalem, is connected to Yerushalayim Shalmata. So it's not entirely a spiritual perspective or a spiritual answer. But it's not seen in the material sense. And another explanation is that we refer here not to Jerusalem and not to the Temple Mount. and not to the place where the Beis HaMikdash stood, but rather where the Beis HaMikdash continues to stand in spirit. Where is that? In every shul, in every house of study, anywhere in the world. And that's, as Yechezkel said, the prophet Ezekiel said, the Eyalehem, God said, I will be with them in the Mikdash Mat. So up until this point, up until this juncture, it seems that there are two separate ways to understand this business of Eini Zoz. It doesn't change. One way is that the spiritual reality somehow remains tethered to a physical reality, to an actual coordinate here on planet Earth. Yerushalayim Shel Milo, connected to Yerushalayim Shel Mata. Another explanation is that the concept of the Eini Zoz refers to the secondary iteration of a Beis HaMikdash. The idea, the ideal, that the Beis HaMikdash is reflected on some way, in some microcosmic, minor way, in every shul, in every yeshiva, then God's presence does dwell here. Two separate answers. So the Rebbe suggests now there are actually not two separate answers. That the idea of Yerushalayim Shel Milo, which is connected to Yerushalayim Shel Mata, that the heavenly Jerusalem, which is linked to a specific exact spot on planet Earth, a coordinate that we're not even aware of. We only know the general area. We don't even know exactly where this is. But there is an exact spot, and that's the exact Makom HaMikdash, and that precise and exact spot, which is Makom HaMikdash, that precise exact spot is connected, if you will, to the heavenly Jerusalem. And the point is, the Gam Kasher Hoya HaChurban Ba'efen Dekiluch HaMosei Ala Eitzim V'Lavonim. Even at such time where God vented his fury on stones, on wooden stones, instead of on people. And so we survived, but ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash does not physically survive. Nishar Gam HaBeis HaMikdash Shalomata. Nonetheless, there is a Beis HaMikdash in this world that remains. And where is the Beis HaMikdash in this world? This refers to Bati Knesias and Bati Midrashas. In other words, the Rebbe is conflating the two answers of Tzemach Tzedek. He is basically braiding them together. He's weaving them together. He says that they're not two separate answers. The one answer augments the other answer. Both answers work together in unison. There is Yerushalayim Shel Milo, and it's connected to Yerushalayim Shel Mata. And the Yerushalayim Shel Mata, the earthly Jerusalem, is a reflection of the heavenly Jerusalem. And they're in perfect corollary. And there's a resonation between heaven and earth in this spot. This is the spot where heaven kisses earth. And it's because that there is this exact reality, this exact spot on planet Earth, that in perfect corollary with the heavenly Jerusalem, through it, it's possible for us to have God's presence here and in places like it around the world. They're not two answers. In other words, it's like as if this is that's the satellite dish for which all of us can enjoy the presence of Hashem. So because Yerushalayim Shel Milo, because the entry point of the Shekhinah is in Yerushalayim, that's the way the Shekhinah spreads itself or is able to, so to speak, be felt, or at least exist, be manifest, in all Bati Knesias and Bati Midrashas around the world. This is new. This is new. The Chassidus doesn't say this before this Maimer.
Can we assume then there's like some kind of a symmetrical, two worlds? What exists here exists also in the
world? We not only can assume that there's a symmetry between a heavenly reality and an earthly reality, we know that for a fact. As much as fact, anything on Torah is a fact. Even a blade of grass has a symmetry in heaven. A blade of grass, every tiny amount of vegetation has a heavenly origin that's giving it strength.
So the good and the evil also exist up there?
No, that doesn't mean good and evil exist up there.
We're talking about symmetrical worlds. So
there is a spiritual force for evil in the heavenly realities, which is not evil, but there is a force that enables evil to exist. And that's like the Yetzer Hara. It's not... He doesn't have a red tail and a pitchfork, and he doesn't live down the block. I mean, maybe he does, but the point is, the Yetzer Hara lives in a proverbial, in a spiritual way, and when Mashiach will come, God will slaughter the Yetzer Hara. So Ruach HaTuma Avir Min Haaretz. But everything has to have a spiritual alter ego. It can't exist in the physical world if it doesn't have some kind of spiritual reality that's making it exist. The point here is that they're perfectly symmetrical. And the Rebbe is suggesting that the idea that Yerushalayim Shel Milo is connected to Yerushalayim Shel Mata, which means that the coordinates, exact location of the Temple Mount, the precise geography of where the Beis HaMikdash stood, continues to be linked to a heavenly reality, that actually makes a difference in our Bati Knesias or Bati Midrashas today. In other words, The Eyalahem Migdash Me'at, the words of Ezekiel, as they're expounded in Masechet Megillah, that I will be for them as a minor sanctuary, which refers to houses of study and prayer, that can only be experienced through the major Va'asuli Migdash, through the site of God's permanent address. And because there's a Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis HaMikdash is itself, you don't see it, you don't feel it, you don't know it, but because the Beis HaMikdash is real, that's why this is real. So the Beis HaMikdash actually still functions then. You understand what the Rebbe did? See, otherwise, when you just learn that answer by itself, you say, okay, very nice. So there's a spiritual reality, and the spiritual reality is synchronized with the material reality, but ultimately, the material reality doesn't exist. It plays no role. It's not real. The Rebbe says it is real. Why is it real? Because the other part of the explanation, not the secondary explanation, the other part of the explanation is that God's Shekhinah is in every shul and in every yeshiva, in every house of study, in every house of prayer. And how is that possible? In other words, where's the entry point? This is often the challenge. You got to find the entry point. And the entry point for the Shekhinah, as it's found in every Beit HaKnesses and in every Beit HaMedrash, the entry point is in Yerushalayim, is in the Temple Mount. And that's why, now it explains to us why we daven and we're still facing Yerushalayim. It explains to us why we're still going to daven in Yerushalayim. Because that ultimately is the entry point. Now this is, I'm telling you, this is new. This maimer, in the way the Rebbe takes these two ideas and sews them together, the Rebbe is shedding light on two levels here in the words of the Tzemach Tzedek. He says, number one, because there's an implicit problem in the first answer, the Tzemach Tzedek offered a second answer. But more importantly, because there is an issue with the fact that the first answer doesn't seem manifest, the Tzemach Tzedek offers a second part of the answer. The second answer is only possible as a result of the first answer. Because Yerushalayim Sholmaila is connected to Yerushalayim Sholmata, that's why there's the concept of Migdash Ma'at. So it's Ein Yizaz. It doesn't move. God's permanent address is still a permanent address, and he's still getting mail there. It's still real.
When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was there a loss of connectivity between heaven and earth?
In an overt way, but not in a covert way. Clearly, we don't see Hashem's presence amongst us anymore, and it says, at least for sure, in the first Beis HaMikdash, Kishem Shibaliros, Kach Baliros, they came to see and be seen, or be seen and see, and they experienced the paranormal. They could see actually God's presence amongst them. So that idea ceased to exist, which is the meaning of exile or concealment. However, even though God's presence is concealed, it's still there. So in other words, if I tell you that this room is full of radio waves and you tell me that's not true, I'll tell you, yeah, it is. And if you say to me, well, I want to hear the radio waves. I want to see them. I say, you can't see radio waves. I want to hear the radio waves. I say, listen, we don't have a transistor anymore. Once upon a time, we used to have a little thing called a radio. It was taken away from us. And this transistor, we were able to actually pick up those radio waves. But unfortunately, we don't have the transistor anymore. And we don't have the antenna anymore. So we're not able to actually hear the broadcast anymore. Oh, so we can't hear it. No, we can't hear the broadcast, but here's what could happen. Because there's a radio wave out there, because of that, that's why you can download your text messages here in the form of Wi-Fi. You say, what do you mean? But then why can't I hear it? So, well, we don't have the mechanism to hear it, but the fact that we're able still to download the emails on individual devices is because the radio waves are there. So why is it possible, or how is it possible, the Eilehem Migdash Me'at, which is a minor sanctuary, that God's dwelling in every Beit HaKnesset and every Beit HaMedrash, ultimately, like the Rebbe said, in every Jewish home, which you make it a Beis Chabad, you make it a place where for Hashem's presence, Hashem's presence will be there. How is that possible? And the answer is, because the signal is still being broadcast in exactly that spot. And because the signal is broadcast from there, we're all, so to speak, linking to that broadcast. And in that way, it's Ein Zoz. Really and truly, nothing has changed. Things have changed from our perspective. We may not see it, but things haven't changed. So this is volley one of the Maimer. Volley two of the Maimer, the Rebbe goes in a whole different direction. And he talks about, so why do we need anybody to make this whole together? Isn't God everywhere? They say, yep, God's everywhere. So if he's everywhere, what does he need an address for? And the answer is, we're talking here about something which is overt. But if it's just overt, if that's what it's about, and now we don't see it, does volley one really work? The whole point of a Beis HaMikdash is revelation. So if there is no revelation, it doesn't work. And the Rebbe reconciles this at the end of Vali 2 by explaining to us that it works because ultimately this is still the spot through which a manifestation of the Divine Presence happens. And we don't have time to go into this now, but basically the Rebbe says that there are two methodologies, two possibilities of how Jerusalem works, and really and truly those two methodologies seem to line up with the same two answers, which ultimately really are one. It's two perspectives, but in the end, the idea is one. And the important thing that we have to know and take with us from this Maimer is that Hashem's presence is real, Hashem's presence is amongst us, and Hashem's presence is real and amongst us because it never left Yerushalayim. That's why it's here. It's here in a very real, profound way, in a very manifest way, in every shul, in every Beit HaKnesset, in every Chassid's home. It's there. It's there in every Jewish home because the Shechina is in Yerushalayim and it hasn't left and departed. And that's what Hashem wanted us to know. So why did it say, Vasali Migdash? Why would Hashem make a statement, Eini Zaz La'ilam? It's Eini Zaz La'ilam. Everybody knows there's so much Zaz, it hasn't stopped moving. And the answer is precisely because you would think that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer. Precisely because you would think the Parshas Truma is ancient history and irrelevant. Precisely because of that, he used the word Li to say to you, make no mistake. It was real, it is real, and it will forever be so. May it be manifest in an hour day with the coming of Mashiach. B'meira, will be Amen, Shabbat Shalom. And thank you everybody for joining us all week.